season West favorites. And we were talking about this before the show, Joshua. I mean, this game was over in the first quarter. That's pretty impressive against a defense as historically good as Wisconsin's.
And I still think Wisconsin has a solid defense. It's just the fact that Ohio State's offense is really clicking right now. And it starts with the play caller and Ryan Day and what he puts out there schematically. He understands how to attack defenses. But then you look at C.J. Stroud, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception, first pick of the year that he threw in that game. Your 2 lead backs go for over 100 yards each. The tight end, Cade Stover, getting involved in the game plan, now being a feature, outside of those great wide receivers. There are so many options on this offense, the offensive line really pummeling people, but you can even flip it over to the defense, and it seems like they have gotten much better than where they were a year ago. And this is looking like a team right now that is living up to preseason expectations.
Yeah, you know, the 2 thoughts that I had, yeah, I agree with you, because Ryan Day, you know, when you can have talent, but there's only 1 football, right? So, yeah. I mean, you got to really make some decisions on who's going to get the ball, where you can be most effective. The other thing, too, you know, you mentioned defensively, you know, they only have 3 takeaways, okay? They're in the middle of the pack with sacks. Mm-hmm. That is such a positive in my mind. If I'm Ryan Day and I'm the head coach and I'm saying, you know, we are scoring points like we are as an offense and our defense is playing good, but guess what? We're not taking the ball away, you know, and giving the offense the 10-yard line going in. We're not having 1,000 sacks right now where we're flipping the field with field position. We're playing like we are and scoring points. We're doing it offensively. And the defense, it's going to happen. It will happen because it's a younger group. We got a new coordinator. We got a new system. So, I mean, as these guys kind of get their feet up under them a little bit more, all of a sudden this thing is really going to explode. It's impressive.
And I think one of the things that we think about with that defense with Jim Knowles is it is kind of a havoc defense.
Right.
And it hasn't been a ton of havoc yet. They just played solid defense. I mean, Wisconsin had 96 yards in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. You just want to play stout, and at this point in the growth and development of that defense, I think it's a building block, exactly what you said. I don't expect this defense to be a big interception group because they play with man eyes rather than zone eyes, so they can't really see the quarterback. They don't see the football in the air. You want to see more sacks out of them. I certainly do, but as you start to build into it, like one of the things that I looked at going against Braylon Allen, who is a really good running back, what do you do against that guy? And you take out that 75-yarder that he had in garbage time where they had the 2s in. Wisconsin's offense had 117 rush yards outside of that one play. And you can hang your hat on that performance because against Oregon last year, against Michigan last year, and against Utah a year ago, that Ohio State defense, whatever you wanted on the ground, it was there. And that's no longer the case.
You know, one thing, too, that I thought would happen a little bit in this game, because Wisconsin's defense is a little bit untraditional. You know what I mean? As far as the 3 down linemen, right? We talk about they're going to bring 4, but
if you don't know where it's coming from.
That's right. Is it the inside backer? Yeah. Is it the outside backer? That is not an easy defense offensively to get ready for week, you know, because you're not seeing it every week. And for them to go out there and put up this production and put it up fast against this scheme, wow, that's all I say.
It's impressive. C.J. Stroud just putting up unbelievable numbers. He has started 16 games in his career. That was the 10th one. He's had 4 or more touchdown passes. It's kind of absurd. Get a chance to see them. You'll be there.
Yes.
On the Big Ten Network against Rutgers coming up on Saturday. Michigan got a battle from Maryland, Wani. Now, the Terps are pretty good. I think we all believe the Terps are pretty good. But they were pressed. It was the first time that they were genuinely pressed in a game this year. Obviously, it was a huge step up in the level of competition. Do you look at Michigan any differently than you did a week ago?
No, I don't. On this show last week, we talked about, I said, this is going to be a great test for Michigan because it's going to be the first time with a new defensive coordinator, Minter, that they're going to face this type of speed, and that, like they're going to see against Penn State, like they're going to see against Ohio State. So this whole thing, and we used to do that from the standpoint of you know, if we were playing back in the days in Oklahoma or someone had a lot of team speed,
right?
You know, that you try to fabricate that in practice, right? It's not real until you see it. You can't replicate. So I thought that Michigan did a good job, but at the end of the day, I mean, they win the turnover battle 2-0, right? And that was the difference in that game. I mean, Maryland could have – Maryland's got to sit there and say, we could have won this football game, guys, and we are on the right track.
And one of those two probably shouldn't have been an interception. Mm-hmm. Should have been overturned.
Well, yeah.
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 Good
yeah.
point.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. But that's what I look at is you come up with takeaways as a defense, and I think it's a great point that you bring up about how they have to grow as well with the new play caller on that side of the football, all of the losses that they had personnel-wise. And to bow up and make the plays when you needed to in critical situations says a lot about who they are. And I had mentioned through the first 3 weeks of the season, I didn't learn basically anything about this Michigan team because of who they were playing. And so now some of the things that you learn is they have a defense who is coming along. It's good. It's not where it could be, but they're headed in the right direction. Offensively, you look at J.J. McCarthy, and some people were moaning and groaning about the performance that he had. I mean, he completed 70% of his passes. Like, did he miss a few? Yes. Is he a little bit riskier than what they're used to?
Yeah.
That's the flip side. Like, right. You know, you complain that Cade McNamara didn't have that top end. Well, you get a top end guy, and he's going to take his chances. It's a part of why he's really good. He's going to have to mature into a guy who maybe takes less chances, is a lot safer with the football. But the thing that you rely on, and it's the thing that they did really well last year and why I think that they can be successful again this year, running the football.
Yeah.
Blake Corum, are you kidding me? The performance that he had, that guy is magnificent. High volume, 30 carries, goes for almost 250 yards on the ground. I mean, the guy is special. And as long as you have somebody who can bring you that production right there, it eats up the clock.
Yep.
It moves the chains. It gives your quarterback some relief. It takes pressure off your defense because they don't have to be on the field as much. That's what was critical about the game for me.
Yeah, and with that running game with Blake Corum, now all of a sudden, I don't care who they're playing this week, the first thing that defensive coordinator and the head coach is going to say, I'm going to walk in to Joshua, he's my coordinator, and say, I'm not worried about J.J. McCarthy.
Yep.
Stop the running
yep.
game.
Yeah.
And so what does that do? It's going to make it a lot easier. J.J. is going to get some wide-open guys off the play-action pass. And the one thing that I thought a year ago that separated the two quarterbacks, and I love McNamara. I mean, I'm a fan of his, but I thought J.J., and we all know his athleticism, right?
Yeah.
His ability to run. We haven't really seen the quarterback run package yet.
Yeah.
That's coming, folks. I promise you. And I thought we would this week. I thought we would see more, deliberate quarterback runs with him. Maybe they felt like they didn't need it. I don't know, but it's coming at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw two of them that looked like they were quarterback run.
Called.
Yes. But in this game, too, you've got Cade McNamara, who's also, he was in sweats. So right. you don't want to put your starting quarterback at risk and he gets hit on a big play. And next thing you know, you're kind of digging deep trying to figure out who's going to be that next guy that goes in the football game. But I will say this, going back to last year now, three times it's been on tape where J.J. McCarthy has put the football on the ground. And now if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm watching the tape and I'm saying, this guy's too athletic for me to tell one of my big guys up front to try to chase him around. So if you're on a rush and you got a chance to reach that arm out there and swipe at the football, do it because he's put it on the ground before. Yeah. So that's another thing that they're going to need to tighten up.
And, of course, taking on an Iowa team that absolutely thrives off of turnovers this week. So I really liked the way that this schedule ramped up gradually. When I looked at it in the preseason, obviously, as we knew, the non-conference opponents were bad. But then you get Maryland, a team that you'd think you can handle, but that is going to be pretty good and challenging, and that's the way it played out. And now you have to go to Iowa City, where they've won five of their last six at home against top five teams. So this is not an easy assignment by any stretch. But again, you had some time to figure out your team. What about Penn State? We saw them win that game at Auburn. They come back. Central Michigan was tight for a while. They pull away. They get Northwestern this week and then the huge game in a couple weeks at Michigan. Is this a team that's good enough to challenge those top two?
I think so. I keep going back to the defense. Everybody's talking about how much their offense has improved and they're running the football with more consistency, and that's helped Sean Clifford out. I agree with all of those things, but you take the football away four times in that game, I think they needed to do that. The way their defense was playing, they were giving up yards. But when you stop the drive, you give it back to your offense, that's always a positive. And then you hold Central Michigan under 60% passing. So even though they were moving the football, you look at that number, 55% passing, and you say that's a win, right? Because as quarterbacks and offenses like to grade it, if they're 60 and above, that's a good day for them. So I think this is a good football team. There's plenty of room for them to still continue to improve, But defensively, to me, I think they can keep riding this wave of those guys just coming along, coming along, coming along. And then all of a sudden, everything is going to meld together at some point, I think. And they'll probably end up shocking a team or two this year.
Yeah, you know, Manny Diaz, the defense coordinator, he deserves some credit. I mean, because he's playing a lot of young players, and they're playing at a high level. And, yes, are they talented? Absolutely. But you still got to get them lined up and put them in a position where they can be successful and keep them motivated, you know, and everything comes there. But with this team, it's kind of a real unique thing because you got some of your big-time players on defense, obviously on offense, Singleton, the running backs, both running backs now, that are young kids. And then you got Sean Clifford, yeah. You know, who's Joshua's age,
right.
You know?
Right?
But you know what I mean? So, and I think that's a great mix. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sean Clifford is still the guy. He's the guy that comes in the huddle, and they're going to be in some stress moments. Mm-hmm. Every team does at some point in the season. And now you want those younger players in the huddle looking at the guy that's been there and done it. So I think it's a great combination the way James Franklin has got, you know, this some of this. I wrote a note, keep playing the young guys.
Yeah.
Keep feeding the freshmen because they're making big plays for you. And you still have that stabilizing thing in the heat of the battle, Sean Clifford walking in, looking everybody in the eye saying, we got this.
I know they got off to a great start last year as well. This feels different to me, and the reason it feels different is because they are better on offense.
Yeah.
They have scored 33 or more points
in
all four games. They did it twice all of last year.
Yeah.
So they've already done it twice as many times in their first four games.
And it's not just that run game. Brenton Strange, the weapon at tight end, too. I mean, they've got guys that can roll out there. We knew their receivers were going to be good, but now it's everything.
How about Minnesota? I mean, holy cow. You want to talk about a game that felt over early. And to go to East Lansing and do that against a team that was so good a year ago, I mean, and we had the same questions we did about Michigan, and I would say they answered them more emphatically than Michigan did. Now, it's possible that Maryland is just a significantly better team than Michigan State.
Right.
Again, like, what are they playing? What are you comparing it to? We'll find out. But, I mean, that was an absolute annihilation.
I wrote a little four-word thing for each team we were going to talk about with my thoughts. Minnesota, keep being bored, okay? In other words, be boring out there because it's the best thing that you're doing, PJ. I mean, you are running the ball. You know, your quarterback's completing at a high percentage because of the run. Because of the run, your defense is playing – you know, 40 plays a game, what did they, 17 minutes last game?
That's crazy.
And that's great. That's the best thing you can do to help your defense. So keep doing, don't get bored, PJ, and try to do something different. Stay with the plan.
Yeah, and I think, you know, PJ Flex, one of his mantras is breaking boring or whatever the case is. Like, they embrace the fact that they are. And I wrote on my deal, this is old school football. You're going to run the football. You're going to throw it efficiently, not necessarily to get the explosive plays. And your defense isn't going to be on the field a ton. And when they are, they're going to play great. And that has absolutely come together for this football team. It's really wild watching it because, you know, we talked about Ohio State right off the top of the show. And this is a team that they want to throw it down the field. 20-plus yard plays are what they want to do. They're going to go down. They can score in 4 minutes. And Minnesota, in every game, is going to try to have a 10-minute drive. A 10-minute drive. They can put up 500 yards of offense, and only two or three of those plays could be 20-plus yard plays down the field, and it doesn't matter. And they're just going to keep punishing you. It is so impressive to me.
You know who we got to give some loving to? Brian Callahan, the offensive line coach for Minnesota. I mean, would they lose? Four or five last year, and they got some guys who transfer portal and some young guys coming up. But I'll tell you what, the offensive line coach, Brian Callahan at Minnesota, this guy knows what he's doing. And he is, you know, that's one position. You can get a young, talented running back to come in and make some guys miss and outrun everybody and have a good year. But those offensive linemen, they don't turn over real fast. You know what I mean? It takes experience. It takes knowledge. It takes good, sound skills, good fundamentals, and they're doing it.
Taking a look at the Big Ten standings, everyone has played one conference game at this point. We have four teams at 4-0, the ones that we already highlighted. Five teams are 3-1. It's a group that includes Indiana, Maryland, and Rutgers from the East, Iowa, and Illinois from the West. So I am curious who you guys think is the real deal from that group. And I struggled with how to define this. Here's what I came up with. A team that can either challenge to win its division or you can see having a significant say over who does. In other words, good enough to knock off some of those teams at the top. I think it's a higher bar for the teams on the east side. And you know, that was kind of what I came up with. So that's how I'm defining it.
I got you.
Can Illinois either win the West or have some say over who does?
Absolutely they can. And I think the first step up that ladder to the top is this week, obviously. They got a big one this week, you know, at Wisconsin. I mean, that's going to be the first step. And then in 3 weeks, they've got to go to Minnesota. That's how I see this thing kind of unfolding. But I'll tell you what, if you look at this Illinois football team from top to bottom, yes, Chase Brown, we all know that they are running the football as well as anybody in the country, not in the West, not in the Big Ten, as good as anybody. The defense is playing at a higher level than I thought. I mean, I don't know where – I mean, they have done a fantastic job down there, defensive coaches, of putting these players in position. I mean, they're coming up with sacks, tackles for losses, turnovers. I mean, they're doing the things defensively that gives your team a chance to win every week. But I think the secret to this team is the quarterback, Tommy DeVito. I'm telling you, I said this before last week's game, and he went out there and threw 3 touchdowns. This guy is not a game manager. I mean, in my mind, I look at him as a quarterback that if they're down a score with 3 minutes to go, he is capable of taking your team and putting the ball in the end zone. So I think with the addition of DeVito at quarterback, this team is a contender. I really believe that.
Yeah, I mean, they could win on Saturday. I totally think that's going to be a competitive game, and they've had Minnesota's number the last couple of years, it feels like, too. So,
right. You
know, this is a team that can challenge. I'm totally with you, Wani.
Yep.
Lead the nation in pass efficiency defense.
Yeah.
Pretty remarkable. They've given up 32 points through 4 games as their fewest since 1950. Joshua, where are you on Iowa?
Well, you know, you look at Iowa and you start with the defense for the positives, and that group, it blows my mind every time you watch them because it is a defense that forces offenses to be extremely patient, to be extremely mature, and to always make the right decisions. And anytime you decide as an offense that you want to get greedy or you get careless with the football, they punish you. They make you pay. And it's not just the fact that they take it away, but they score on defense as well, like we saw this past Saturday. So from that standpoint, they can make a lot of games really uncomfortable for a bunch of teams. Flip it to the other side on offense. Still got a long way to go before that's an offense that really scares you. But you have to think that if they can get the ball on a short field enough times that the offense can move it and put some points up. So do I think they're going to challenge for the West this year? I don't think so. Do I think that they could knock off a team that's going to challenge for the West this year? I absolutely believe that.
Yeah, defense, everybody's on the same page. Offensively, though, I always thought to win a championship, you got to be able to do something really good. You know what I mean? And traditionally, Iowa's been able to run the ball as good as anybody in the Big Ten. You know, right now they're struggling running it and throwing it. So I think it's, you know, I think they're going to have a heck of a good team. Can they win the West? I think they've got to improve.
We're going to learn a lot here these next few games, right? Yep. This Michigan game lines up great for them just given their history of these top 5 home upsets. But then Michigan, Illinois, Ohio State, next 3 games. So we will understand how they stack up against the best of the best and then how they stack up against some of these other teams, another team that may have a shot at winning it or challenging for the West.
The one thing they do have, and you can't, is they've got a head coach that's won big before,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And they've got a program that expects to win. And that means something in these games.
It is fair to say he knows what he's doing.
Yes.
How about Maryland? Where are you on Maryland?
Wow.
They win the East? I mean, I don't know, but can they beat one of those top teams?
Heck yeah, they can. I mean, I'm a fan of Maryland's. And I was more impressed coming out of that game with Michigan. I mean, I really was. I mean, a couple turnovers, that thing could have gone the other way. I mean, they are capable with Hemby of running the ball and scoring touchdowns. We know they're capable with Leah of throwing it. And defensively is probably the one thing right now that they have to keep grinding on because they're not going to have the lead. You know, when you got a high-scoring team, and I've been fortunate to be coaching defense on some of those teams in the past, like at Miami, we would be up, and now we had this team one-dimensional. We were coming after you. But when we got up against the teams like Maryland did, you know, with Michigan, that we're not going to have the big lead. And now we've got to play all phases of defense, run, pass, all situations. That's where sometimes if you have a few holes, they can show up a little bit. And I think that's what happened to Maryland a little bit against Michigan. Now they know. Now we talk about what did Michigan find out about themselves? What do we know? Well, I think Maryland now, they're sitting down there saying, hey, guess what? Coach Loxie's saying, now we know more about our team too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't rewrite the games, but you sit there and ask the question, if Maryland can field that opening kickoff, what does that game look like? It's probably a lot stickier. And so that goes to show you that they're in a position where might be able to steal one against the Penn State down the line. Feels like Ohio State's going to be really tough to beat. But if you make the game ugly and you can maybe match points, yep, because we know their offense can go down there and score, like, yeah, this is a team that's going to scare a lot of these top teams this year. I totally believe that.
Just to measure their progress, that was their first road loss by a single-digit margin against a ranked conference opponent since 2011, when they're in the ACC against Georgia Tech. So, again, are we incrementally getting better if you're Maryland? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I think you can make the case they are. Indiana, they finally dug a hole they could not get out of, Joshua, against Cincinnati. They had kind of lived on the margins here and had gotten away with it for the first three games. Is this team good enough to beat someone really good this year?
I'm going to give you a few stats on this team. They're 13th in total defense, 13th in scoring defense. They're 13th in rushing offense in the conference. Connor Bazelak has thrown four interceptions so far this year. It feels like they're not doing the things that a team that can challenge some of the top teams would do. Defense has to tighten up, and that's both in yardage and also what they're putting up on the scoreboard. Your quarterback has to take care of the football better, and some of these quarterbacks out here, I think, as they see more challenges, or their interception numbers are going to go up too. I think some of the early games allow them to go out without much challenge, but certainly need to take care of the football better. And we've always asked the question about this offense, and we know they can throw it now, but can you really run the ball when you need to? And that still feels like a challenge for this football team. So to me, I think there are many areas that they need to improve on. I'm not seeing them going out there and scaring anybody in the East that they shouldn't scare.
No, I agree with you on all points. From a coach's perspective, I think Tom Allen is probably sitting there saying, we're throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game, and this defense is out there. This is not who I am. This is not the DNA of the program that I won here when they had success of running the ball, a little bit of play action, and playing great defense. So whether they can turn that around, that's tough to do at this point in the season.
They ran 104 plays.
It's a lot of plays.
It is.
Only
picked up 3 yards per play. Well, so
that's tough. That's tough.
It is really hard. This is a game they got to get this week, in my mind, Nebraska, because whether or not you're going to compete at the top of the league, and again, I don't think you guys think they will, making a bowl is realistic when you look at their schedule.
Absolutely.
And this is one of those games when you're trying to count to six, you got to get. What about Greg Schiano and Rutgers?
Well, what's that old expression? When you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
Yeah.
When you have four, what's the analogy there?
Because Greg's playing. I don't know what the math on
He's got three or four that he's right. And he's always been that way. Even back in the days when I was at Pitt as head coach and he was at Rutgers. You know, the first time he played two or three guys. And but I'll tell you what, you know, the thing that got them a little bit is obviously they made some mistakes. And two of Iowa's scores last week were off of turnovers. Yeah. Greg Schiano's teams are not going to be fancy, but they're going to be able to somewhat run the ball. Last week was as tough as they're going to see all year against Iowa's defense. But then when they turned it over, they gave themselves no chance. They will have a surprise. They will upset a team or two down the road because this team, Greg's going to keep coaching them, and they're going to keep getting better. Whether they have enough talent, that's where the pendulum is a little bit lopsided.
That's kind of my exact thought. I think that they could potentially pull off one big upset because I think they could play a perfect game one time. But for them to consistently challenge the teams at the top, they're going to have to be near perfect every game they go out there because, you know, you start to look at personnel and some of the other factors, it stacks against them.
I still think they're one of those teams where making a bowl game is an accomplishment.
It is.
Back-to-back years after this Ohio State game, Nebraska and Indiana.
Yep.
Those are games you can win.
Absolutely.
Those are games you probably need to win, again, as you try to get to six. Well, time for our big stat, and the Big Ten is also the best running back conference in the country. How about this? Five of the top 10 rushers in the nation, including the top two, play in this league. For some perspective, consider this. No other conference has more than one back in the top 10. The Big Ten's got five. Interested to get your take on these guys. And Joshua, let's start with you. Chase Brown has gone, in my mind, from very good to great this year.
Yeah, and I had doubts about him coming into the season, too, just on what he could be at the top level. So he's proven me wrong and a lot of other people out there. And story about him, we went to campus on the bus tour, and we got done interviewing players, and he grabbed Howard and started talking his ear off, just asking questions about how he managed reps and how he managed his body and what he did to stay fresh throughout the season, how he helped other people on the team. And so he's talking to somebody who was a legend at that school, trying to get the knowledge so he can go out there and have the best season he possibly can. So it starts there for him. But this is a guy who is patient with the football, but extremely sudden when he needs to, and he's a very physical runner. So to see him go out here and have the success he has is not a surprise to me. And this isn't an offense that's got a bunch of guys who are just blowing dudes off the ball either. They're an offense that creates movement by their movement, not necessarily by moving guys physically. Right. And so he has to understand where these plays are supposed to hit and develop, and he certainly does. And it's just been explosive. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, these running backs, and I've been very, very blessed to be around a few good ones. You know, Dorsett, Emmitt Smith, I had Ricky Williams, LeSean McCoy. With great running backs, they do things that you don't coach. Okay, and so I would tell all the coaches out there, make sure they get off the bus. I used to tell my running back coach that, okay, who's now coaching for the Bears. Make sure he gets off the bus, and we're good. But we're playing Notre Dame. It's the longest game in the history of Notre Dame football. We're in our fourth overtime. And I'd call this play, I'd call LeSean McCoy over, and we need about 6 yards. And I said, we're going to run the power, and you stay between the center and the guard. Push it up in there for about four, and we're going to try to a long field goal to win it. Yes, sir, I got it. We go out there. He takes two steps and runs to the sideline, makes a guy miss, runs it down to the 10. We kick a field goal and win. The game's over. I said, come here. We ran 36 power. What were we talking? Why'd you run out there? And he looked at me and says, nobody was out there.
All right, coach.
What do you want me to say about these great running backs, okay?
That's sound reasoning. Mo Ibrahim is not running away from people as much as he's running people over. I mean, I feel like every week there's one of these plays. DeNardo has started calling them rugby scrums, right, where the pile just moves and he keeps his leg churning and picks up 5-7 more yards. I mean, it's amazing how tough he is coming off a very serious injury.
Yeah, how do you come back off a Achilles like and produce like this? And the plays you're talking about, when they see those plays, as Jerry calls them, the rugby scrum, the not just is the offense fired up, but when you see the entire team on Minnesota's sideline, you know what I mean, playing defense, offense, coaches, I mean, that's a motivator for everybody. He is the lifeline for this football team. And this is the reason that they play great defense. It opens up, and Tanner Morgan's a fantastic quarterback, one of the best in the conference, but this makes his job a lot easier, too.
You make an argument that the guys up front block a little bit harder when they got a running back like that, toting the rock. Like, you were spot on. Like, absolutely. He is the lifeline of the team.
And look, this is nothing new. I mean, this guy was second in the nation in rushing in 2020. I think what's surprising about it is the torn Achilles, and to come back from that is amazing. Braylon Allen really took the Big Ten by storm a year ago as a freshman in Madison. As we look at that game against Ohio State, as we mentioned, this was not a close game at all. You touched on it earlier. I think the one bright spot for them was his long touchdown run. Yeah. It points out to you just how good he can be against the best competition, which is something we learned last year as well.
Yeah, I mean, athletically, what he's able to do is what stands out to me the most, because he's a big running back. Dude's like 6'3", you know, 220, 230 pounds. And when he gets into the field, he looks like a sprinter out there. Like, he's got that breakaway speed. It's not just the physicality, but he also has great contact balance. And what I mean is, when a guy hits him, he's able to regroup his balance and keep churning forward for multiple yards, not just falling forward on contact for maybe an extra yard. And it's wild. Is he a guy who's going to be a feature out of the backfield to catch the football? No. Are you going to run him up and through the tackles and then let him get out in the open field and he can do his thing? Yes. Did I call a game where he had a rep in pass pro where he absolutely obliterated a guy, and that's what you want your running back to do? Yes. This kid is remarkable.
Yeah, he's got to play great this week for them to win. I mean, we talk about Mo being the lifeline. I mean, this is what Wisconsin football is all about.
Yeah, for sure. 1,000-yard game since last 13 outings, and they will need that against a really good Illinois defense. Blake Corum, we've already kind of sung his praises in the show. I think the thing that really stands out to me is one of the big question marks it felt like coming into this year was, can this guy be an every down back? Can he be, without Hassan Haskins, can he be the guy who you turn and hand the ball to? And, okay, well, they have Donovan Edwards, and so maybe he won't need to necessarily fill that role in quite the same way. And then Donovan Edwards goes down with an injury, and you guys talked about earlier, 30 carries.
That's good.
That's amazing. 30 carries for 243 yards.
Coach said that's good. I mean, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, that's what I hope, Jim, what you just described. Give him a rest, but I'm telling you, you know, I mentioned that some of the greatest backs that ever played, been fortunate to be around them. They all want the football, and they will tell you to a man, Coach, I get stronger. As the defense gets tired, I get better. And that's when the energy starts coming. So give him a rest when you need to, Jim, but keep feeding Blake the football.
And this goes back to the preseason for him, too, because he heard all the same doubts everybody else had about whether he could be that every down back. And so he got into the weight room and he repurposed and he reshaped his body so he could withstand all the physical contact that he would take to be able to run the ball 30 times in a game and be as productive as he was. I mean, it shows you the work he put in.
No doubt. A big test against Iowa this week. You want to talk about physical defenses. Yeah. That is a physical defense. It has not been a great season thus far in Lincoln, to say the least. One of the bright spots, though, Joshua, has been Anthony Grant, the junior college transfer. Had the tough game against Oklahoma, but before that, have been over 100 yards every game. Well, what do you see there? What makes him so good?
Yeah, the footwork stands out to me. He's got the best jump cut out of any of the backs that I've really watched like closely this year in the Big Ten. So he sees the gap close. He's able to use his footwork to kind of bounce it out to the outside. And then once he gets into the open field, he's got a sprinter stride. But he's also a pretty violent runner, too. Here's a guy who's not really getting knocked back on tackles. And that's one of the things you always evaluate with running backs as well. And kind of with where this team is at right now, like, he's a dude where maybe it's a 2-yard run for other backs. He could turn it into 10, and that's what you need out of him right now for Nebraska.
Yeah, and it's a tough hill, too. I mean, transfers in, they got a new offensive coordinator, Mark Whipple, new system, your coach gets fired. I mean, there's all these things that makes his job a little bit tougher. So, hey, hats off to him. He's doing a great job.
Bigger challenge, too, going forward because A.J. Allen's out for the year, the freshman who had really spelled him nicely, and you could see why they were so high on him. Yep. So there's going to be a lot on Anthony Grant here going forward. Included in those games, a couple teams that are at 500 or worse. There's a handful of those teams in the Big Ten. So our mission here is to fix the problems, to fix one thing with each one of those teams that at least could somewhat get them back on track. Joshua, we're going to start with you and Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the offense for me, and it feels like a little bit of a lazy answer because you can point to their defensive performance against Ohio State and probably say regardless of how good their offense was, that game was going to be out of reach. But their defense has done most of the work this year. And so when you look, the question that I ask is, how can you be more explosive down the field? Mm-hmm. So does that look like play action shots with double moves out there? Does that look like schemed up routes where maybe you've got different exchanges off the line of scrimmage to try to free up a wide receiver? Do you use your running backs out of the backfield a little bit more, maybe to just get them into space? I'm not exactly sure what it is, but their offense against better competition has struggled versus what they've done against poorer competition. They need to make sure they can be consistent throughout the year.
They've won 7 straight conference home games against unranked teams. This is one of those games you kind of got to win.
Yeah.
Right, if you're Wisconsin. So a lot of pressure on them this week against Illinois. The easy answer for Michigan State is defense, but I know you don't necessarily want to take the easy road there.
I don't. I mean, I just look back to last year and what helped their defense last year. What helped Peyton Thorne last year? It was that running game. And I know we don't have Kenneth Walker III. I get that. But sometimes it's not how many yards you run for. It's how many times you do it. And I think they got to come back and get committed to the run. And that's got to be a point of emphasis because Peyton Thorne, there's too much on this kid. He turned it over last week, trying to run him on an option play a little bit. He throws a couple picks. You know, I mean, he's an excellent quarterback. He was fantastic last year. But he's not a 40 or 50 pass a game guy. That's just, you know what I mean? So you got to help him out a little bit.
Well, it's hard to commit when you can't get enough drives and when you're playing from behind, too. So it's a double edge here. They're in a tough spot.
Last two games, they've run for 80 yards. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, to your point, you got to figure out a way to get some sort of run game going. We know part of it has been they've been down big early on, and so they've been playing catch-up. Purdue, hey, speaking of running the ball, Purdue actually ran for more yards against FAU than they threw for. Obviously, that a lot of function of Aiden O'Connell's injury. They got a game that could have gone either way in that FAU game. Now, they had lost some games that were kind of toss-up games as well, but there was a lot of hype around this team coming into the year. They're 2-2. What does Purdue need to do to challenge in the West?
They need a bigger defensive playbook. And I love the way that Ron English has gotten this defense to where it's at, where it's aggressive and guys are playing confidently. But there are certain situations where if I was a coordinator, I wouldn't call cover zero or cover one, which is either straight man or man free. I would give my guys a little bit of relief. And those are the situations where they've gotten caught up twice this year. The first one, you look at Penn State, that final play where they scored the touchdown at the end, that was a zero look, so they had no help over the top, and the running back sneaks out, and he's basically uncovered. Look against Syracuse, it was a similar deal. You're playing cover one at the end of the game where maybe you give your guys a little bit more relief. I think just changing up the looks to, you can still play three deep with that single high safety out there, and it's going to look very similar to the quarterback, will go a long way for confusing quarterbacks a little more, but also letting those guys take a breath, because playing man-to-man is difficult duty.
Yeah, live by the blitz, die by the blitz.
That's what he's doing.
That's kind of what's happened there.
And the defense doesn't have to be lights out, right? I mean, they've gone 10 straight games scoring 28 or more points, the longest streak in school history. And Purdue's had some good offenses through the years. So can they just be good enough on defense is I think what you guys are saying. These last two are challenging. I'm not sure there's just one fix for either one of them, but let's start with Nebraska. They had a week to reset.
Right.
Coming off that Oklahoma game, Mickey Joseph obviously made a move with his defensive coordinator, getting rid of Eric Shenander. What now for Nebraska? What can they look to against Indiana? Winnable game where they say we can get this thing going a little bit.
Well, if you use the word reset, that's a great word. If I'm Mickey, we're going to reset. And the first thing I'm going to tell my team is, guys, we all need to understand how we can lose a game before we understand how to win a game. Hmm. And by that thought process is that quarterback, what can I do to lose this game? Throw an interception, force a throw rather than protect the ball and get down. You know what I mean? So every position, you're talking about zero blitz. Maybe it's a defensive coordinator. How can we lose this game? Well, zero blitz and someone runs by us. I would start from there. From the ground level, and let's go in this thing, and I don't want to hear the word conservative, because you're not being conservative, you're being smart. And if you can get that established and not beat yourself, and now it just comes down to people and athleticism, athletes, I think you got a lot better chance than you're going to build from there.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing Indiana, Rutgers, Purdue, these next three games.
Yeah.
I mean, you're as athletic as those teams
Absolutely.
Are. So kind of to your point, I think that's why we looked at this schedule.